Is the leading scorer for the Badgers for the second game in a row after a career-high 30 points on Monday against the University of Texas Rio Grande Valley. Blackwell leads the Badgers with 17 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. Badgers had 4 scorers in double figures. John Tanjay with 15 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. Nolan Winter, his first career double-double at the college level, 13 points, 10 boards. And Kamari McGee with a Badger career-high, 14 points to go along with 4 rebounds and 3 assists. Badgers had a season-high 21 assists in that game, Butchie, and held UCF to just 2 for 17 from beyond the three-point arc.
Yeah, again, it started individually. We've now seen Central Florida play, you know, 5 halves. So when you look at this, we saw 2 against them. Got a good feel out of it. But a lot of it is individual. And when you guard the way that you guard and make it difficult, that's why you have bad shooting percentages.
All right, well, there's a minute to go in triple overtime between LSU and UCF. LSU has the lead, the basketball, on top by 3, 102-99. So to all of our affiliates who are diligently and dutifully following along, we know that we are through all of our pregame breaks, so we are going to take a bonus break here. And when we come back, we'll be joined by the voice of the Badgers, Matt LePay, who is on the road with Wisconsin football at Nebraska this weekend. We'll talk to him about how things have gone for us at the Greenbrier tip-off and get his thoughts on Badger basketball and maybe even a little football as well. So again, time for a bonus break. This is Badger basketball from Learfield.
Have you ever tried to put a roof on your house?
Ouch!
What about trying to run power to your new hot tub? Yep, we've all made that mistake. Hi, I'm Sean Cleary. We have an amazing team of experts that are ready to get to work for you. We use the latest technology to design and manufacture your custom Cleary building, giving you the best value for the building you deserve. Stop in or explore clearybuilding.com today.
Cleary built with pride, the world of Shamrock supplied.
Need reliable waste and recycling services? Choose LRS. Driven by service and dedicated to sustainability, we're your partner in efficient waste management. Need more? We also offer convenient dumpster rentals and clean portable restrooms for any event or project. Trust LRS for all your waste needs. Visit LRSRecycles.com to sign up for service. That's LRSRecycles.com.
Okay, there is a timeout on the floor in triple overtime of the consolation game at the Greenbrier tip-off. LSU leads UCF 106-102 with 11 seconds to go, again, in triple overtime. So if you tuned in hoping to hear Wisconsin and Pitt, don't worry. Nothing's happened to the game. It's just been pushed back a little bit because LSU and UCF are going to triple overtime. Brian Butch, Chris Foster's on hand. We're so thankful to welcome in the voice of the Badgers, Matt LePay. Poor guy thought he was going to have an off day today, coming back from Wisconsin-Nebraska football yesterday, and has to come in to bail us out in this extraordinary fill session that we have going on here, getting ready for Wisconsin and Pitt in the championship of the Greenbrier tip-off. Matt, thanks very much for calling in. I tell you what, you left this part out of the job description when you said I'd be filling in for you this weekend. I didn't know I'd be stuck with Butchie doing my own talk show getting ready for Wisconsin and Pitt here. But good to hear from you, and thanks for calling in.
Well, you know, I think a key is what you just said, stuck with Butchie. And, you know, I do apologize for that, Chris. I've been there, boys. I've been there, done that a few times. I'm not sure if I've had a triple overtime game in front of me. But when you get into the NCAA tournament, if you're not the first game of the session, we've had 2 hour pregame shows before. You guys might be part of history, though, in the past radio effort. 2 hours plus of pregame programming before the game. So congratulations to you both.
It really is an honor.
Thanks so much, man. I'm glad. Thanks for the congratulations.
no one else I'd rather be doing with Butchie, of course. Tell you what, we're having a lot of fun here, Matt. This resort is quite the place. I mean, anything you can possibly think of doing on vacation except sitting at a beach, I kid you not, you can do here at the Greenbrier Tip-Off. There's an underground bunker that was built during the Civil War. You can go fishing, hiking, off-road driving. You know, NFL training camps are held here during the summer, so it's...
You can even get a workout in and watch some game film.
You know Butchie's been doing that.
Well, you know, with Butchie, when he's on the treadmill, you know it's the most grueling 3 minutes of his day. So, you know, it's like 20 minutes.
It's like 20. I'm working my way back up.
This guy is the mayor of the Greenbrier Resort, Matt. I got to tell you. I mean, he couldn't go on the treadmill more than 3 minutes if he wanted to, because people keep coming up to him saying hi and wanting to talk to him about the Badgers.
Well, Chris, the other thing I didn't tell you, and I've lived it, you're not only the voice of Badgers, you're the official photographer for the Brian Foote fan club. You know, they kind of line up. They want to be with him, and I get it. You know, I think, you know, it's understandable, but you have to take a lot of pictures. And that's just how it works. I wish you this with Fort Myers, that's life with Butchie, and now you can.
Well, listen, I'm working my way up to asking him to do this, but I'm hoping that he invites me into his Butchie's breakdown, you know, his post-game, like, social
oh,
media.
You want in on, oh, you're like, okay. Oh, yeah.
I didn't want to say anything, but I'm hoping I get an invite.
Oh,
maybe
you're
a,
in.
Maybe a
I
cameo.
Mean, that'll happen at about 10 o'clock tonight, but, yeah, you'll get into it for sure. We do have a final, though. There is no four overtime. We do have a final.
109-102, the final score, as LSU comes from behind to knock off UCF in triple overtime, folks. You can't make this stuff up. So the Badgers will take the floor here momentarily after LSU and UCF finally get out of here. We're joined by Matt LePay, voice of the Wisconsin Badgers. Thankful to have him calling in to help get us to tip here on one of the longest Badgers pregame shows in program history. But, Matt, how was we know about the result for the football team, of course. You know, that was a very animated and motivated Nebraska team that was determined to get bowl eligible for the first time in a while. Looking ahead, you've got a quick turnaround going into the battle for the Axe and Minnesota. What are your kind of preliminary thoughts about the game for Wisconsin football coming up the day after Thanksgiving against the Gophers?
Well, I'll start with a lighter note. Probably should end with it, but I'll start with it. You'll be, I don't know if you'll be glad or disheartened to know that the Gophers at halftime at Memorial Stadium in Lincoln were just next level good. Tausch and I were counting. It was tremendous what they had in the immediate dining room with the Gophers there in Lincoln, Nebraska. Okay, that's the light part. Now the not so part. First off, when I think of Nebraska football, it reminds me of Green Bay, the fans. They are there for the good times in the ball. And they haven't been bowling since 2016. They will be now. But people just live for Nebraska football. The place was full yesterday, and as disheartening as it was for Wisconsin on multiple fronts, it was still for the fans there. I mean, who would have thought, if you know anything about Nebraska's football history, who would have thought that fans would storm the field when their team won their sixth game of the year? But it's all relative. Times have changed. They've gone through a very tough stretch. They've had one close loss after another. And for them, yesterday, everything came together. They won a game. They scored 44 points. They're going to play a 13th game. And for them, it was a big deal. For Wisconsin, unfortunately, it's same old, same old. Just a lack of consistent play. I thought the offense was okay. Braden Locke felt comfortable. You know, talked to him briefly after the game. I think it was a comfort level with what they were doing. They scored 25 points. It should have been in 30, but from a field goal in the ball game. But defensively, they just played very poorly, and Nebraska took full advantage. And now, what I hope this week, and you guys are alone, know, you didn't play football there, but you know as a lot what this game means with Minnesota. And this is the trophy game that matters more than the game. As the app. If you're not from here, you need to get educated. But if you are from here, you've gone through it once, you know what it's about. So, yeah, this is a team that again, has to dust itself off, has to get off the campus, all those cliches, and find a way to win a game, to get them to play. And that makes them officially bowl eligible. You don't want to be part of that team with a streak in. That's my hope for this team. We'll see what they've got left in the tank. We'll see how Minnesota gets there. Loses by one point to Penn State. They're bowl eligible, but that was a gut punch yesterday for those teams. So it's going to be really interesting. 11 o'clock Friday morning, Black Friday. It's supposed to be like 25 degrees. So it's going to be by far the coldest game of the year. We'll see what the conference has left for Penn State.
Still a point where, you know, in spite of everything the Badger football team has been through this season, if you knock off your arch rival to hang on to the axe and get to bowl eligibility, well, now you've got a lot to feel good about going into a bowl game, the extra practices, and then the offseason beyond that. So it's been a wild season for Badger football, no question about it, but still a tremendous opportunity in front of the Wisconsin football team. Matt, I've got some great news. The basketball team has taken the floor. They're wearing their reds in this matchup against Pitt. A lot of Wisconsin fans have made the trip to the wilderness of White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia. That's not a surprise. We know Badger fans will travel anywhere to support the red and white. But let me get your quick thoughts on the start of the season for the basketball team, Matt. I don't want to say 6-0 is completely out of left field or this surprise that no one saw coming, but I mean, hey, this is the best start Wisconsin has had since they went to the national championship game. So what are your early season thoughts on the basketball team and how this interesting roster has come together under Greg Gard and his staff?
Well, I think the biggest surprise for people has been the offensive productivity. They've done something they haven't done before with their volume of scoring. It's early. We all know that. I mean, I'll pump the brakes on comparison to the 2014-2015 team. But what's been unusual, I think, for Badger fans and what they're trying to do is the point total, what they are averaging every night. It's no secret. And Chris, you know this, following the team, Butch and I know this. There's an emphasis on the three-point shot. Get the shot to the rim. Get to the free throw line. They tweaked the offense a few years ago. They continue to tweak it. It's been a minute since they've run the swing. I think Greg Gard's ability to take advice, get some input from guys like Chris Penny, get some input from guys like Greg Kinsella. You know, it's not like they're reinventing the game, but they're changing things the way they've done it in the past because the game is evolved. And I think that's been the biggest surprise, what they've done offensively. And I'm sure with Greg Gard on down, they'll tell you defensively they still need to get better. But the fact that they're scoring at the clip that they are, that's been a really encouraging part early in the season. I'm really eager for this game to start, but it's finally done. I think your pick, which you guys have talked about, is off to a really good start. And the Kencom numbers are very impressive. And soon enough, this thing is really going to ramp up for the Badgers. They've got the game at Chicago State coming up this weekend. Then you got a Big Ten game right after that with Michigan. So this is, you're not going to be a finished product right now, but hopefully they start to get a feel for what they do well and to improve on the things that need to be improved. Because all this stuff, everything is ramped up here in less than a half an hour. And it certainly does in the coming days and the next couple of weeks. You've got conference games, you've got Marquette, you go down to Indianapolis to play Butler. Business is really starting to pick up for this team.
Matt, and one of those things for me that you look at with Greg Doe is he's evolved, but the game's evolved. The way it's been called, you can't take a charge anymore. There's going to be more scoring in general. So you have to change, and I think that's the biggest thing that I take away is, yeah, they've done it, but this game today is interesting because Pitt, they're going to slow it down at times. They're going to play in the half court. They're going to take mid-range too. So it's a really intriguing battle between the two of those guys, these two teams. And for me, like I said, I've enjoyed watching Greg change. And I also think he saw the writing on the wall when the NCAA came in and said, this is what how we're going to call a charge block. Because defensively, you really can't. I mean, you can't do the arm bar on the guard anymore. You can't take charges. Like, they're trying to increase scoring in the game. And if you're not going to try to increase scoring as well, you're going to have a problem.
It's been so interesting to watch. I agree with you. You know far more about this. But to watch the truth, to watch the philosophical shift, and yet, as we talked about, there remain the non-negotiable, diving for loose balls, you know, being fundamentally sound, protecting the basketball. That doesn't change. But I think with this staff, there are new ideas, historical knowledge, knowing what has worked through the course of years and years of Wisconsin basketball. But you're right. I mean, he knows that you'd love to be ideally top five in the season offensively. Ideally, you'd love to be top 20 defensive efficiency. They've got work to do on that latter part. But, yeah, just to watch him, rather than just moan and groan about how the game has changed, the landscape has changed, he said, okay, let's change with it. Let's do what we can. We've got to hit the portal. Let's find the right fit. And they really believe they've done that. And you're still developing, guys. It's a lot of fun to watch. And I know we're just 6 games into this. But these guys, through their expertise, through their institutional knowledge, their willingness to change things as these change, gives them a fighting chance. And that's what makes tonight interesting, and I think that's what makes watching this team, you know, for a while now, and it will certainly make it exciting to watch this team, because they put themselves in position to have a chance every time they step on the floor.
Certainly expecting nothing but the same tonight against a really good Pitt team that on paper seems to match Wisconsin in terms of their scoring production and their size. This is a really tall Pitt team as well. So a great matchup here, great non-conference showdown, great time of the year on the sports calendar, in particular college basketball. Matt, it's been an absolute blast filling in for you, hanging out with Butchie. He's been great, taking great care of me.
You don't have to lie to him. I mean,
and we've been having a ton of fun. So, thanks
hey,
so
Matt,
much for calling
can
in.
Can you believe that they let me bring my golf clubs along? I got a round in.
Why'd you shoot?
84 ish.
Oh, okay.
Ish.
Double your number.
84-ish. You know, you got to add the ish. That's all. It covers me that way. No, it was good to get out. It was good to get out. And it's been a good trip. And this team has a chance now in front of them in the next 13 minutes to go, you know, go get a championship. It doesn't matter when they get it. This starts, and this we saw in Fort Myers last year. Like, you can build on this stuff. You can build on this. And as competitors, and we know how many competitors are on this team, like, they want this. You could see it. We saw it at shoot around today. We saw it at practice yesterday. Like, they're dialed in and focused. I'm really excited to see how this game goes in the next 13 minutes.
You guys sounded great. You're doing a great job filling in. And again, congratulations. I'm pretty sure, I'm not positive it's a record, but we'll just say it is the longest pregame show in the history of the Badger Radio Network. And special mention to Aisha Jackson, who is kind of keeping you guys in line back at the studio as well. You know, whatever they're paying her, it's not enough. And Chris, whatever we're paying you, Butchie will fill in the rest. So you're taken care of. So you're good to go.
Thanks, Matt. I appreciate that. And definitely second the shout-out to our wonderful producer, Aisha Jackson. This show would be way more off the rails than it already is if it weren't for her. So Thanks again for the call. We appreciate it. We're a little over 12 minutes to tip here, so we'll let you go enjoy the rest of your night off. And thanks again. We really appreciate it.
All right, guys. Take care. Have a good call.
Once again, Matt LePay, the voice of the Wisconsin Badgers, calling in to keep us company. What a guy here as LSU-UCF goes to triple overtime, therefore pushing tip between Wisconsin and Pitt back by, it'll be about an hour.
Sitting on his couch right now with, fire in the oven, not the oven. The fireplace, that's what I was looking for.
I hope there's not a fire in the oven.
No, you don't want that. The fire in the fireplace, got a nice warm little blanket and some whiskey in his glass. He's just sitting there thinking, oh, I'm glad Bucky played on Saturday.
Yes, well, it was great to hear from the iconic voice of the Wisconsin Badgers called really all of the, well, not all, but many of the top moments in Wisconsin athletic history, certainly over the last 30 years. So great to hear from Matt. And he'll be back with you, of course, for basketball. I guess the next game after this is
Chicago State
the Monday after Thanksgiving, right?
The Saturday.
Saturday, excuse me. Okay, so that'll be a back-to-back.
Another back-to-back.
Hardest working man in radio. Yeah, no question about it. All right, folks, we're close. We see a light at the end of the tunnel here in terms of tip-off between Wisconsin and Pitt, championship of the Greenbrier tip-off. So again, to all of our affiliates across the Badgers radio network, we're going to take another bonus timeout. We'll come back, and we'll get you set with starting lineups between Wisconsin and Pitt. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. We'll get to tip-off eventually between the Badgers and the Pitt Panthers. Again, a bonus break coming your way next. This is Badgers basketball from Learfield.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison, home of the Big Win and Madison Casino Guru, is transforming guests into winners, making an ordinary day into a big win day is easy with a 95% average payout. And with over 140 daily jackpots, the number of people winning has never been bigger. So what are you waiting for? Escape to Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison for your next big win. Ho-Chunk Gaming
Madison. We believe in education. We believe in public schools. At WEA Member Benefits, we believe in helping Wisconsin public school employees and their families achieve their financial goals by providing personal insurance, retirement and investment, and financial planning programs that are designed specifically for the education community. WEABenefits.com. That's WEABenefits.com. WEA Member Benefits is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Running just a little bit behind schedule, but better late than never as we count down to tip-off between Wisconsin and Pitt in the championship of the inaugural Greenbrier tip-off from the historic Greenbrier Resort in West Virginia. Let's finally get you set for starting lineups tonight. This has been a long time coming, but starting lineups are presented by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. And for the Pitt Panthers, they come into this matchup 6-0 out of the ACC. They finished fourth in the ACC last year, did not make the NCAA tournament in spite of a 12-8 record in the Atlantic Coast Conference. They're looking for their third straight 20-win season and are off to a great start. They're 6-0, haven't started 7-0 in over 10 years. You have to go back to the Jamie Dixon era, 2013-14. Pitt has three guards in their starting lineup that are going to be a problem for the Badgers today, beginning with graduate senior Damian Dunn, 6'5", 205 pounds, out of Kinston, North Carolina. He's a Houston transfer. This is his first season with the program. Comes in averaging 13 points, 2.5 rebounds, 2.2 assists per game. He actually fouled out in Pitt's last game to start the Greenbrier tip-off against LSU, so he'll look to be on the floor for more than 12 minutes here tonight. Also at guard, Ishmael Leggett, a 6'3", 185-pound senior from Prince George's County, Maryland. He's a Rhode Island transfer, playing in his second season with Pitt, and is the defending ACC Sixth Man of the Year from a season ago. Leggett is in the starting lineup now, averaging over 18 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals per game. He's second in the ACC in field goal percentage, shooting over 60% from the floor through Pitt's first six games. Also at guard, Jalen Lowe, who's only a sophomore, 6'3", 175 pounds, from Missouri City, Texas, Fort Bend Marshall High School. He was inserted into the starting lineup midway through last season for Pitt, and it was really a turning point in Pitt's season. They started 1-5 in the ACC. Lowe gets added to the starting lineup, and the Panthers took off. As a sophomore, Lowe is averaging 15 points, over 6 rebounds, and just under 6 assists per game. He's also averaging over 2 steals per game. In terms of bigs, this is a very tall Pitt team that has 5 players on the roster 6'10 or taller. One of those is Cameron Corhen, who's the starting forward tonight, 6'10, 235 from Allen, Texas. He's a Florida State transfer in his first season with Pitt. 13 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal per game. He leads the ACC in field goal percentage at 68% from the floor. Finally, the center is Guillermo Diaz Graham, whose twin brother also plays for Pitt. Guillermo is 7 feet tall, 225 pounds, a tall drink of water, a junior from Spain, out of the Canary Islands. He prepped at the IMG Academy in Florida and is averaging 8.7 points and 7.5 rebounds per game to go along with 1.5 assists and over 1 block per game. This is his third season with Pitt. Again, the starters for the 6-0 Pitt Panthers, Dunn, Leggett, Lowe are the guards. Corin is the forward. Diaz Graham is the center. And for the second straight game, Wisconsin faces a program coached by a Duke alumnus. Against UCF, it was Johnny Dawkins. Pitt is coached by Jeff Capel, a 1997 graduate of Duke, in his 7th season coaching the Pitt Panthers and his 16th season overall as a head coach. Capel has previously manned Oklahoma and before that VCU. Capel was over a 1,000-point scorer with the Duke Blue Devils and played on their 1994 National Championship runner-up team that lost to Arkansas in the National Championship game. Now for the 19th-ranked Wisconsin Badgers, 6-0 on the season and looking to improve to 7-0 for the first time since 2014-15. Their starters remain the same now for all 7 games, beginning with leading scorer John Tanjay, a 6'5", 218-pound graduate senior guard out of North Omaha, Nebraska. The first-year Badger comes to the program by way of Mizzou and also Colorado State. Tanjay is averaging over 21 points per game to go along with 5 rebounds and 2 assists. Also at guard, number 11, Max Klesmit, a 6'3", 200-pound senior from Neenah, Wisconsin. A Wofford transfer, but he's played the majority of his games in Wisconsin uniform by now, his third season with the program. 13 points, just under 2 rebounds, 2.3 assists, and 2.3 steals per game for Max. Finally, the point guard for the Badgers is John Blackwell, a 6'4", 203-pound sophomore from Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, Brother Rice High School, averaging 16 points per game. It's been the start of a breakout sophomore year for Blackwell to go along with 4.7 rebounds, 2.3 assists. An all-Big Ten freshman a season ago, looking like a possible all-Big Ten season brewing for John Blackwell, who's led the Badgers in scoring the last 2 games. At forward, Nolan Winter, a 7-foot, 235-pound sophomore from Lakeville, Minnesota, Lakeville North High School, coming into this game off the heels of his first double-double as a Badger, 13 points, 10 rebounds against UCF. On the season, Winter averaging 9 points and a team-best 6 rebounds per game. He's shooting over 64% from the floor. The center is the graduate senior veteran Stephen Crowell, 7 feet tall, 248 pounds from Eagan, Minnesota, Eastview High School. Crowell was held to just 14 minutes against UCF on Friday. He fouled out and picked up a technical as well. Crowell looking for more floor time against Pitt, and they could really use him to combat Pitt's size. Crowell on the season is averaging 8.8 points, 4.3 rebounds, and 3.3 assists per game. He's an excellent passing big man for the Badgers. Again, the starters for Wisconsin, Tanjay, Klesmit, Blackwell are the guards. Winter, the forward, Crowell, the center, and of course, the head coach of the Badgers in his 10th season, Greg Gard. 192 wins as Wisconsin head coach, closing in on 200 wins as the head man for the program. He should get that. Not long from now, as a matter of fact. Don't take wins for granted, but certainly this season, Greg Gard figures to cross that 200 win mark. Again, those are the starting lineups brought to you by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. Don't drop the ball, Badger fans. The Wisconsin DOT reminds you to drive sober. While we're at it, the UW Health injury update provided by UW Health Sports Medicine, treating the Badgers, treating you. And the best news we can provide is that the Badgers are healthy. And although we're only nearly seven games into the season, always a good time to be healthy. You want to talk about someone in particular, Brian, Kamari McGee maybe? Or
yeah, I think what Kamari McGee is brought is the energy. And when you look at him coming off the bench and what he can do and what he can give this team, I think is so important. But I also think Stephen Kroll got into foul trouble early in the first game against UCF, then picked up the technical, then got his fourth foul 15 seconds into the game. This is a game against you're going against another big. You've got everything that you need. There's going to be a breakout game for Big Steve. And you just look at kind of how many games he's played in, the experience that he has. It feels like this would be a game that he could finally have that breakout moment. I mean, he's been good as a facilitator. He's been good. But as far as scoring the basketball, just I've circled him early in this game to be active and really try to be aggressive more than anything and go score the basketball. If they do that, if he does that, I think it really does change a little bit of what, you know, Pitt's going to do defensively against this Badger team.
And the Badgers have been very balanced, four different leading scorers in their first six games this season. We are just getting ready for in-house starting lineups. And the Badgers wore their whites in the win over UCF on Friday. They wear the reds tonight. Red jerseys, red shorts, white trim. Wisconsin spelled out across the chest in all capitals. White lettering, white numbers on the front and back. And the Big Ten Conference logo on the left chest. And the Under Armour logo at the V of these Wisconsin jerseys. The Motion W emblazoned on the right leg of the shorts. And, of course, the outline of the state of Wisconsin on the nape of the neck of Wisconsin's Column Road jerseys that they'll don for the first and only time here at the Greenbrier tip-off. Pitt is wearing their typically home white uniforms, white jerseys, white shorts, that is. Pitt spelled out across the front in that familiar cursive script. Blue numbers and lettering on the front of the jerseys. Nike is the manufacturer. One of the most unique venues that you can find for college basketball. This game is being played in a literal ballroom. And the first time that the Greenbrier Resort has hosted an invitational like this. There was technically the first portion of the Greenbrier tip-off last weekend between four other programs. They called that the Mountain Division. This is the River Division. Wisconsin and Pitt closing out the program with the championship game of the inaugural Greenbrier tip-off.
Yeah, and for me, I think the next thing that I talk about is as the guys are finally getting ready. They're finally ready to play after almost an hour delay because of a three overtime game before them. I know it wasn't one of the keys as far as how do you start, but I do think it is now a key of this game of how you start this game. And we talked about it. Pitt was standing over there for about 45 minutes just standing. We didn't see any of the Wisconsin players. They were down below warming up, doing what they needed to do. So I think the start of this game is going to be very interesting to see how and what happens with it.
No question about it. And we'll remind our wonderful fans that today's game is brought to you in part by the Wisconsin Pork Association. Hey, Badger fans, the Wisconsin Pork Association reminds you to support a pig farmer by purchasing pork all year long. Visit WPPA.org for recipes and information. I think a pork chop sandwich, the only thing that could have made this pregame show better, hanging out with you, Butchie, but that's all right. We got tip-off now seconds away. We finally made it, my man.
It was that bad? I mean, you needed a pork chop sandwich? It was that bad?
No, I'm splitting hairs, all right? It was great, but...
No, it was good. It was good. But now we finally got some basketball against two best teams. This is the best game on the college basketball slate today. Let's sit back and enjoy this.
Badger fans taking up about two-thirds of the bleachers across the way from us, and a notable Pitt contingent wearing blue and yellow in the bleachers as well. Pitt is the closest of the four programs here this weekend to White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia. They brought a good group of fans as well. Cameron Corhan will take the tip center for Pitt, and Stephen Crowell for Wisconsin. Again, Pitt in the white with blue trim, Wisconsin in the red with white trim.
And I'm not making this up when I say this. The shot clock on the right side is out.
The whole thing, shot clock and game clock.
The whole shot clock and game clock, it is now just gone. That is why we have our delay.
You can't tell me you're surprised at this point, right? I mean, nothing would surprise
No, I'm not surprised. It's just kind of comical at this point. But, yes, if you're where we're at, the shot clock on the right side of us is completely dark. I don't know if there's power to it or if there's not power to it. They're working through it right now trying to get this thing fixed. But that's the reason for the delay.
And it's still out, so we'll remind our listeners that Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells is the best place for grown-up entertainment, games, and fun times. Your odds are better here. What are the odds of...
Now we have someone climbing the backboard stanchion.
Now that's...
Looking for... I think it just got unplugged. I'm hoping it literally just got unplugged.
This is crazy. We're sharing... a look with our friends down Radio Row from us on the Pitt Radio Network. I will just say that their pregame show was only expected to be a half hour.
Well, I know. They got an extra hour. They had an hour and a half show. Yeah.
We had a two-hour pregame show.
We officially, I think, set the record because we have not tipped yet. We are at 2 hours and 10 minutes.
Well, at least the Packers are playing well. They're on top of San Francisco 24-10 with 2:12 to go in the third quarter. Almost a 100-yard afternoon on the ground for Josh Jacobs, who has two touchdowns as well. Hopefully the Badgers can channel that energy and make it a great Sunday for Wisconsin sports. Our officials tonight are Earl Walton, Vladimir Voyard-Tedet, and Tim Comer.
I'm telling you one thing. I'm glad I grabbed the cookie out of the lunchbox they gave us.
I
was trying to go on a diet, but I'm glad I had that cookie. I even said I'd get you one, Chris.
I know.
I'd say, do you want me to get you a lunchbox that got there? No, we'll be just fine. You're pretty jealous of me now, aren't you?
I am. I could use a shot of glucose, that's for sure. And how about the players? I mean, this is crazy.
Well, and that's what I mean when you talk about start of this game, right? Like, it was not a key. It's been a key in a lot of the games that we've talked about. It was not a key in this game. Now it is a key. I mean, we're going at 6:37 Eastern time. This was supposed to tip off at 5:30 Eastern time. That's it. So what also happens is when you talk about when they shot around, when they eat, now is an hour later.
Right.
Well, like everything that you've done, because there's a reason that, you know, Schneid has these guys eat at the right time. Like all of that now is pushed back a full hour. Now, I mean, we're talking an hour and 10 minutes now. How does that factor out to these guys? How do they come out and play? Like, all of this is thrown out. That being said, what I love about it more than anything is this is an experienced group of guys that just want to compete. We can give you all the excuses of why and what and all this other stuff. That being said, like, it doesn't matter to this group. They know what they have to go through.
Pushy, I think we're just going to play with
one shot clock. You can't make this up.
The shot clock and the game clock are working on the left hoop, but not the right as we see it. And by the way, they only have 12 minutes on the game clock right now for the first half. I hope they catch that and put 20 minutes on the game clock.
Hey, we have had an eventful 2 days.
I'm not getting shortchanged now. You better give me a 20-minute first half. I haven't waited for a 12-minute first half. All right, so that's the latest, and the players are just kind of milling about at center court, staring at each other right now. We'll see which team comes out hot. Maybe both teams will come out ice cold. Who knows? And I will just say that it was a 5:35 Eastern time tip-off, so we're at an hour and 4 minutes delay. This was originally...
I like to round up.
I think we certainly can at this point. This was originally precipitated by a triple overtime game between LSU and UCF. That was the original and still greatest cause of the delay. Recently, it's been a game clock issue. The display is out on the right hoop.
I think it is. Now they're trying to bring out an extension cord.
You're right. From the stage to our right, it almost looks like a middle school auditorium or something like that. A stage with this ornate red curtains and backdrops.
It reminds me of some old school gyms that you used to play. I loved it.
Kind of like Badger colors.
They used to be church gyms more than anything.
Yeah. Taking you back to not even your AAU days at this point.
No, this is elementary school days. Yeah.
Jeez. The players are kind of jumping around on the balls of their feet right now to stay warm. It was a beautiful day, actually, outside in White Sulphur Springs, Virginia.
It was beautiful.
Nicest day of the weekend. It had been overcast, cold, and at times snowy until today when the temperatures got above 50 degrees.
We're getting two more extension cords now.
One's not enough. Hey, listen, I don't want to jinx anything here, but I'm glad that the shot clock has got the power outage today and not Radio Row. That was our problem
that
on
was,
Friday.
We had one of those on Friday.
They can deal with the power outage today.
We have had a lot. That being said, we're going to get treated to a really good basketball game. And so if you've stuck with us this entire time, thank you, because it's all going to be worth it pretty soon here. Because you got two really good teams. I think we're going to play with one shot clock right now.
Yes, that's correct. And now they have put 20 minutes on the game clock. So both scoreboards are working, but the shot clock on the right side of the floor from our vantage point, that's Pitt's side of the floor, is not illuminated right now. And Mark Starziak, one of the tournament directors, is climbing up the hoop on the left side of the floor, I think, to make sure that everything is in due order. And
he just... So now they're going to take both of them off because you can't have a shot clock one side or the other.
Oh, my. Okay. All right, so playing without a visible shot clock. We've got.
You still will be able to see the time of the game of the score. They have two big scoreboards in each corner, so players will be able to see the time, but we will not have a shot clock visible. There will be one at the scores table.
Wouldn't have guessed that would be allowable, but at this point, enough's enough.
And I think that's what both head coaches, have to agree to this. I think both guys are like, enough, let's play.
And play we finally will. 1 hour and 7 minutes behind schedule. Here's the tip and a whistle.
Re-jump.
I think Cameron Corhan jumped too early.
He did. But let's re-jump it one more time.
Why not? There was actually a foul on the opening tip-off between Wisconsin and UCF on Friday. We're underway officially now. Stephen Crowell wins the tip. John Blackwell on the dribble with the left hand, angling to his left, drives to the left lane line, guarded by Ishmael Leggett, flips out to the left wing. Winter hands it right back to Blackwell, who skids but stays on his feet and now dribbles it out of bounds underneath the hoop.
And that's the physicality, Chris, that we were talking about, right? That's an unforced turnover by Wisconsin. And was Pitt's guards, they're going to get into you. You can't have those careless turnovers.
No score, Pitt ball. Guillermo Diaz-Graham flips it to Corhan, left of the circle, dribbling to his right around the arc. He hands off to Damian Dunn. Shot fake drive, left in the lane, throws up a contested shot on Tanjay. It's short. The rebound to Crowell. Over 30 seconds in, no score between Wisconsin and Pitt. Crowell right of the circle, entry feed Winter, short corner right, guarded by Guillermo Diaz. Left of the circle, Crowell, underhand Klesmit, drives to the free throw line, bounce pass Crowell, two-hand jam in the restricted circle, and the Badgers are on the board.
Great pick and roll action there, and got Big Steve on the roll.
1 minute into the game, Corhan has it for Pitt, top of the key, underhands to Jalen Lowe, the sophomore, into the corner now, near side, Leggett, couple of shot fakes, and he lets it fire over Klesmit, off the front rim, rebound Wisconsin. Blackwell on the dribble, now Crowell dribbling to his right, picks it up right of the circle. Swung to Winter, and now on the left side, John Tanjay. Tanjay, the Badgers' leading scorer, throws it into Winter, baseline left, now he brings it outside the arc. 90 seconds in, 2-0 Badgers. Tanjay for Winter, left to the circle, three ball off the rim, rebound to Corhan of Pitt. They are giving the shot clock audibly right now when it gets to 10 seconds because it is not on display here in the arena. Guillermo Diaz-Graham, now Damian Dunn, right wing for Pitt. 15 on the shot clock. Dunn, right wing, dribbles into the lane, kick out low. Left wing three, well short, rebound tracked down by Winter in the lane. And Damian Dunn of Pitt is hurt at the free throw line. It's a 5-on-4 for Wisconsin. Klesmit misses a left wing three, long and out of bounds. And it's Pitt ball, 17:49 to go in the first. And Damian Dunn still injured on the floor. Pitt athletic trainer Daniel Anthony out to take a look at the graduate senior Damian Dunn.
And it looked like his ankle, knee, he's grabbing both of them, so.
Well, perhaps it's not a surprise that we've seen just one field goal from both teams combined, 2 minutes and 12 seconds in. Dunn has just been helped to his feet and is really favoring the left ankle or leg, Butchie.
He can barely put any weight on it, Chris.
Hardly any. He's dragging his left foot right now, very slowly. I don't even think he's going to stop at the Pitt bench. He's going right to the locker room off the floor to our right.
And we've talked about one of the weaknesses of Pitt was the depth.
Yeah.
I'd be shocked if we see Dunn the rest of this game.
It's Pitt ball. They bring it up the length of the floor, looking for their first bucket of the game. Jalen Lowe drives to the left elbow, kick out top of the key. Diaz-Graham for three off the heel. Free throw line rebound Lowe. He brings it back out for Pitt. Corhan, right of the circle, 15 on the shot clock. Pass inside to Zach Austin, who dunks it low on the right. Austin off the bench to fill in for the injured Damian Dunn.
And that's what he does, John Townsend. Cannot lose vision.
2-2, Wisconsin ball, 17-15 and running, first half. Top of the key, Winter. Chest pass, Crowell, right elbow. Now Klesmit, right wing. Drives to the right elbow, a jump stop, a kick out to Tanjay. Left side three, wide left. Rebound Leggett of Pitt wearing the white headband. Into the corner for Austin. Now Lowe has it, wide on the right. One arm pass to Corhan off the free throw line. Underhand Austin on the right side. Leggett bobbles the handle between the circles. Guarded by Blackwell. Corhan, free throw line, pulls up a step inside the free throw line and banks it in. It's 4-2 Pitt. Wisconsin ball, right wing Klesmit. Chest pass, Crowell left to the circle. Tanjay on the left side. Drives to the left elbow and he traveled. Pitt ball.
And that's one of those things early on in this game. Again, turnover-wise, Wisconsin already with two of them.
They had 13.
But unforced turnovers. right? Just because of that aggressive nature of Pitt.
Badgers averaging 10 turnovers per game, and again 13 against UCF on Friday. Jalen Lowe walks the ball up the right side of the floor. Corhen has it now, top of the key, dribbling to his right. Leggett draws the double team. Given goes down low to Corhen, banks it in low on the right, and draws the foul.
And right now, you look at this, what happened is Stephen Crawl blitzed the ball screen. They hit the roller in Corhen. However, the weak side for Wisconsin was not over. The weak side was late. Because they were late, that's where you get the foul. You've got to get over there over. Nolan Winter has to be over there.
Kamari McGee picks up his first personal, and Corhen completes the three-point play. Seven straight points for Pitt. They lead it 7-2, 16-17 to play first half. Winter wide on the left for Wisconsin. Klesmet, top of the key, dribbling to his right. Winter, catch, shot fake on the left. It's Klesmet dribbling to his left. McGee right of the circle. Winter dribbles it back outside the arc. Right wing, Crowell free throw line, picks up his dribble. Left elbow extended, a jumper swirls off the rim. Winter battling for the rebound, but it's controlled by Pitt. Austin saves it for Leggett, who throws it down low. Diaz Graham. Corhen receives the pass down low and dunks it with two hands. It's 9-2 Pitt.
They've got to get back in transition.
McGee, left wing in front of the Pitt bench. High on the left now. Into Winter. Floater rattles in the lane for Nolan Winter. He's on the board. 9-4 the score in favor of Pitt. Pitt not pushing the tempo as Lowe walks across half court. Right wing Leggett drives in the lane, throws up a 12-foot floater. Short, rebound Winter. Blackwell up the floor for Wisconsin. Drives left lane line and draws the foul. There's a timeout on the floor with 15:10 to play. And the score, Pitt 9, Wisconsin 4. This is Badger basketball from Learfield.
The big game, family, friends. We know you count on Alliant Energy to deliver the safe, reliable energy you need, whether you're watching the game, cooking your famous burger, or leaving a light on for loved ones. For us, it means going beyond the expected to make sure we're planning for the energy you need today and tomorrow. That way you can keep your eye on the ball and focus on what's most important to you. Find out more at AlliantEnergy.com/poweringbeyond.
Just like no two people are the same, no 2 days are the same. We start them and end them at different times. And in between, we all do very different things. Yet there is something we all have in common. Knowing your local Touchstone Energy Cooperative is here to power every moment of every day. Because no matter when it starts, we never stop.
Richland Electric is your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Hear your favorite Wisconsin Badger sports broadcast right here on WRCE.
The Wisconsin Supper Club, a long-standing tradition that's found in new life. Introducing Kickapoo Creekside, Wisconsin's newest supper club. From mouthwatering steaks and fresh seafood to a large salad bar in the perfect old fashions, Kickapoo Creekside provides a great dining experience. Order from the menu or enjoy the chef's daily special. Enjoy your meal in the dining room or enjoy it outside. Kickapoo Creekside, Highway 14 in Reedstown. Open Wednesdays through Saturdays at 4, Sundays at 11 a.m.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
9-4, Pitt leads Wisconsin with 15:10 to play in the first half. The opening tip-off delayed by 1 hour and 7 minutes tonight because of a triple overtime game on the floor at the Greenbrier tip-off ahead of Wisconsin-Pitt. And then a delay with the display of the shot clock in arena. But opening tip-off did arrive, presented by Odyssey Brands. A little bit late, but better late than never. What are you seeing so far in this one, Bushy?
Well, I think early on it's two turnovers. defensively, they've got to be pulled over a little bit more. Offensively, right now, they're just taking a lot of mid-range twos, which they don't normally do. I think some of that has to do with the shot clock. Again, the shot clock is out, so they're yelling 15 seconds, 10 seconds. They're hearing it from the mic. So that changes your philosophy a little bit. You got to play through that.
Baseline inbounds for Wisconsin after a pit foul. Blackwell the catch, left corner in front of the pit bench. Now Carter Gilmore onto the floor, top of the key. One dribble to his right, swings it left side, Winter. Underhand Klesman, left wing, guarded by Austin. Now baseline left, Gilmore, left wing, catch and shoot three, it's short. Rebound Guillermo Diaz, and here is Leggett up the floor for Pitt. He stops high on the right, tries to drive around Klesman, underneath, throws it to Lowe outside the arc, swung to Austin and back to Lowe, high between the circles. Leggett, left wing, Cameron Corhen with 7 early points for Pitt. Back to Leggett, who drives in the lane. Wild shot off the backboard. It's Wisconsin ball, Blackwell up the floor. Eurostep in the lane, and it was nearly blocked by Austin, out of bounds, and it belongs to
foul.
Pitt.
It's going to be a foul on John Blackwell.
His first. How do you figure that?
Well, he got locked, is what happened. He was in there trying to get the rebound, and he got locked with Diaz Grant.
Jalen Lowe up the floor, the sophomore for Pitt, wearing a sleeve on his right arm. Guillermo Diaz-Graham with the pass to Corhen, left to the circle for Pitt. Lowe catches top of the key, runner in the lane, good for Jalen Lowe, who's averaging 15 points per game. 11-4 Pitt, just over 14 minutes to play in the first. Kamari McGee high on the left, Stephen Crowell up top, right wing now, bounce pass, John Tanjay baseline right. Tanjay enters the lane, shot fake, up it goes with the left hand, short, rebound up for grabs and controlled by Leggett at the three-point arc. Now Lowe accelerates to the other end of the floor. Left of the lane, a kick out top side for Leggett. Right elbow, dump off, Guillermo Diaz-Graham, near corner, three ball. High bounce off the far side of the rim. Rebound, Klesmit and Wisconsin. Gilmore, top of the key. All day, passes up the shot. Tanjay, right wing three, too strong. Rebound, tipped out of bounds, and it belongs to Pitt.
And that's not the three, Wisconsin. They can get that three anytime. And I know they want to shoot more threes, but one more swing. They are not getting enough ball reversal side to side to get Pitt's defense to move. And that's why they're struggling so much offensively, because Pitt's D is loaded up.
Badgers have hit just two of their first 10 shots. They trail 11-4, 13-17 and running first half. Corhen, bullet pass, right wing, Leggett. Dribbles into the backcourt, right of the circle. Blackwell picks him up. Leggett dribbles baseline right. Fadeaway shot falls off the front of the rim. Rebound Crowell. Wisconsin ball, it's Tanjay. Pass to Crowell, left of the circle. Bounce pass, Blackwell, baseline left. Blackwell traveled. Another turnover for Wisconsin and the second traveling violation on Blackwell.
That's John's second turnover, Wisconsin's third.
Pit ball. Jalen Lowe dribbles it across the arc, underhand to Diaz Graham. Now Leggett dribbling to his left. Lowe has it high on the left. Dribbles to the middle of the floor. Austin catch and shoot three right side. Good. In front of the Badgers bench, Zach Austin has 5 off the Pitt bench. Pitt by 10. 12:30 to play in the first. Xavier Amos is on the floor for Wisconsin. He has it left of the circle. Tanjay left wing. Drives baseline left, cut off. Turnaround jumper in and out.
It's a tough shot. You just don't want it. It's a mid-range two there.
And the Badgers don't want those. Lowe has it right of the circle. Now he slips in the lane, throws up a floater, short, rebound Crowell. Blackwell up the floor in transition. Blackwell drives down the lane, right-handed layup, John Blackwell. It's 14-6, Pitt. Under 12 minutes to play in the first. Now Ishmael Leggett at the point for the Panthers. Left of the circle, Corhen dribbling to his right, underhand low, free throw line floater. It's a lob to Corhen, who throws it down, and he has 9 points for Pitt. 16-6, the lead back to 10 for the Panthers. Tanjay, left wing, Crowell, top of the key. Right wing, Blackwell, guarded by Leggett. Blackwell slithering to the right elbow. Pull up, good. John Blackwell, he's got the Badgers' last four. 11-23 and running, first half. Pitt leads 16-8, and they have to hurry to avoid the 10-second backcourt violation. It took him a while to inbound the ball, but Lowe still walks across.
And John got away. It could have been his second foul. They don't call it.
Lowe misses a three left to the circle. Amos, the one-armed rebound. Tanjay up the far side of the floor. High on the left, in the lane, Crowell, guarded by Corhan. Crowell is stripped, gets it back, and is hacked. Low on the right by Guillermo Diaz-Graham. First personal on Diaz-Graham. And there's a timeout on the floor. 10:54 to play in the first. The Badgers, as expected, being tested by Pitt. It's 16-8 Panthers. This is Badger basketball from Learfield.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its